Hey everyone, welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, and iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone that you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we lace up this episode, here's a little teaser for you. Stick around to the end of each episode for the last shot question. It's a chance to test your sneaker knowledge and engage with our community. I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter for a weekly deep dive into the biggest topics in the sneaker business. All right, now that the business is taken care of, grab your favorite pair of kicks and let's get started with the episode.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
Against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win!
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What up, what up? Welcome back to the Sneaker History Podcast. My name's Nick Engvall, and tonight I'm here with my guy, Mike Guillory. Mike, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Not much, man. Not much. Just ready to talk some sneakers on this great Monday evening.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Kind of slow start to the news week, but some interesting stuff happened over the weekend that I think we can dive into. So before we get into that, I wanted to shout out the Machine 702 for leaving us a review on iTunes. Definitely appreciate you guys taking the time to leave us reviews. It helps us spread the word, reach a new audience, and you know, just build our community here. And that's what we're trying to do. So if you got 30 seconds, leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps us out. If not, just shoot us a tweet, leave a comment on Instagram, message us on our stories, whatever. We just want to kind of talk sneakers with everybody. So,
Yep.
So this episode, we wanted to, I guess we'll start out with some news stuff. I think, I'm like a huge Reebok Instapump Fury guy. So I probably got about, 30 pair.
Seriously?
It's like a sickness. Yeah. I have a ton.
Dude,
of
them. I need one pair. I can't find one. For some reason in our market, we don't get them. So I'm jealous.
Yeah. It's definitely one of my favorite shoes. Shout out to Stephen Smith, the godfather of dad shoes, so to speak, that started that whole craze. But I just love the shoe because it's nuts. It's like no laces, you know. It's just a wild shoe thinking about like it coming out, you know, whatever 30 years ago. But today we're looking at the bait Toy Story 4 version. I don't know, it's almost too wild for me, as crazy as that sounds, but I do love Toy Story, so I don't know, what do you think
and
of these?
You love Instapump Fury.
Yeah.
Like, this is a match made heaven for you.
Yeah.
No, I think they're awesome. I mean, I think they're probably more something you kind of put on the shelf and just kind of cool, like next to your Buzz Lightyear figure from 1995. But this is a cool sneaker. And I honestly think they did better than what Adidas did with the Ultra Boost. I mean, everyone loves the Ultra Boost, and of course they're more wearable. But Reebok took it to a whole new level. Like, these look like something that Buzz Lightyear is wearing when he's, you know, run around where your kid's sleeping or your kid's out the house. This is what Woody's wearing, you know, where they're saving the day. So you can't beat this, man. This is perfect. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't make these in kid sizes too, because I swear that if they would have a wide release of these, they would have sold like crazy after life.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they do. You know, like I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if kid sizes come. I know this particular shoe is a little more expensive to produce for kids, so they typically don't, but, they did make, I'll have to dig them out so I can post them. They did make Pump Furies, instead of having like an air bladder around the shoe, it's actually just a little squeaker on the like kid's shoe. So, yeah, it's really dope. I have a pair from, I don't know, way back when, but, so this one looks like, I don't know if it's too, I mean, it looks like it's, one for Woody and one for Buzz Lightyear, but it also looks like it could be one shoe with both of them. I don't know. Like,
Oh, you're right.
I haven't seen like the official stuff, right? It's only like one photo, and Sneaker News picked it up off of, you know, looks like one of the, you know, like Disney news accounts or whatever. But I like at first I saw it and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, like one for each of them. But then I looked at it and it's like, well, the picture is like the Buzz Lightyear shoe is the left shoe, and then the Woody shoe is the right shoe, clearly. So I mean
that'd be wild.
Yeah, it'd be dope if it was just both. It would just like totally, I mean, especially now, right? Like that's kind of the trend, is to like, you know, mix it up from side to side or whatever. But which is totally hypocritical of me, because I was kind of poking fun at it a few episodes back, right? But
oh, same here. But this, I guess certain things just kind of, you know, it's okay. We'll give you a pass on this one.
Yeah. I don't know that I would actually wear these too often, but I would definitely, it would definitely be one of those display pieces where you go find like an old, you know, original Toy Story piece and have it on the shelf. So
agreed. 100%.
Just a like dope marketing thing. I mean, I think, you know, Bates always done a really great job of pulling in the movie companies and putting together like these like co-branded, you know, basically it's basically marketing for Toy Story 4, right? And it's not necessarily as it doesn't really like, it's not focused on the sneaker world as much, but obviously like the sneaker blogs pick it up, and you know, the sneaker heads are kind of like the secondhand recipient, where they're really trying to reach a new audience and have people that are just into the movies. And obviously Toy Story is, you know, Toy Story 4 coming out this summer, what, maybe a couple right, weeks away? Weeks. Yeah, it's not too far.
Yeah, 21st.
But I think it's just cool marketing on both sides. I mean, but yeah, speaking of cool marketing, Nike today, I woke up to a couple of text messages from people asking about what was in the sneakers app, because I there was like a little like movie clip thing of a Nike truck, you know, leaving 6/6/1985. And it turns out that if you saw that and then you saw the ad, there was a phone number to call. You call the phone number, it gives you GPS coordinates. Just a really cool concept. Did you happen to call the number, Mike?
Yeah, I did. that's actually right before I texted you about it earlier. I was like, let me call the number, see what happens. And it's just, you know, it sounds like 1980s, like music, all those vibes on the phone, like you're calling like the, you know, Nike back then. And but then it switches over to a representative talking to a customer, like, hey, you remember the package you basically lost back in, was it 85? Yeah, we found it. So they're just like, well, that was a long time ago. It's like, yeah, well, apparently there's like something supernatural may have happened to it. And she kind of like, you know, taking it back, like, what do you mean? He's like, well, we can't really talk about it, but just come to this coordinate, and it gives you a longitude, latitude, which I did not have a piece of paper around, so I couldn't write it down. But they're just like, yeah, just come to this this longitude, latitude on this day, and basically don't ask any more questions, and it lets you leave a voicemail if you want to.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think it's awesome too. And it turns out that I didn't go down there, but it turns out that the address is like 601 Pico, the coordinates.
Okay.
So it's basically right downtown here in Los Angeles by the convention center, Staples Center, all that stuff. So I'll have to go check it out and see what it's all about. But, you know, I think, like, rumor has it, Stranger Things, there was a capsule supposedly in the works a couple months back with a bunch of apparel, and then potentially like two shoes, I think the Cortez and I want to say like the Bruin or something like that, kind of a like an old school, you know, 80s basketball shoe. So I'm guessing that you know, there'll be a cool experience there for whoever heads down there, but We'll report back with any findings if I can make it over there. So.
Yeah, man, we got to know what happens, because that was And that was too good to pass up. It was done so well. And so it was interactive. I think that's what got me. It was so interactive that it just kind of draws you in, even if you're not around for that, you know, to go to that particular location. It's just cool to be, they made everyone a part of it.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of all this, like, kind of new wave of, you know, integrated marketing stuff where you're getting people out and about and kind of, you know, getting people more involved in the whole experience. Because for one, like, being, you know, working in that industry for all these years, in a sense, you know, it's such a better way to immerse people in the experience. You know, like, you can write amazing, you can take great pictures, you can tell incredible stories through, you know, a commercial or video content, but when it comes down to it, like, there's so much more, you know, there's so much more value in this, like, in-person experience, that especially if you can tie in these social media things like this. So I'm really stoked to see this kind of continue on, and excited to see, like, what else they do with it, you know, because this clearly is, like, you know, I don't know, what's this, like, fourth or fifth thing in the last maybe year with Nike that's been this way. And as much as, like, I appreciate it because a lot of it's happened here in LA, it's going to be good to see it kind of expand into other places. And, you know, I think there'll be more and more of this, and hopefully it turns into more of the kind of, like, I see this as, like, the future of, like, let's say Pride releases or Black History Month releases, yeah, or even All-Star releases for that matter, you know, like, where, yeah, yeah, there's certain stuff that's going to release online always because that's the easiest way for people to buy it. But I'd love to see more of this specific stuff in person, just because it kind of takes it back to a place where, you know, it reminds me of, like, the Japan releases for, you know, Nike in the early 2000s, where it was like, yeah, I wish I could, you know, afford to fly around the world to go grab, yeah, a pair of shoes. And I was bummed to not be able to get that stuff, but it's still just a cool, like, it stands out in my memory, you know, for 15 plus years ago. So I assume that this kind of stuff will do the same thing for the people that actually are paying attention and getting involved and either having the experiences or unfortunately missing out on them.
Yeah, don't rub it in, man. You know, I don't live anywhere near that. But regardless, I can appreciate it. You're even from a distance.
Oh, man. Speaking of kind of outside the box with the thinking with this kind of stuff, this new Air Force One low is funky. I like it a lot, but I'll let you talk about it. It's pretty dope.
It's cool. I mean, it just shows again. I mean, I think we harp on it quite too much, so forgive us for doing so. But just again, you can see that today, off-white, just that idea has just been just pretty much run amok and just giving people, the designers over at Nike, the freedom to kind of look at this, kind of do whatever they want. This sneaker does just so many things just not seen on Air Force One besides that collaboration. And so maybe some remnants of, like, the the Cole Wall collaboration as well, that they removed the check completely from the sneaker. Like, at least the lateral side, they don't give you a picture of the medial side here on Sneaker News, but it's replaced with, like, some writing. Looks like it's just basically something you do in design where you're measuring out a placement for something, so there's some random digits here, so I'm guessing it means something once they, you know, get a little bit more time, they'll explain it some more. You see a strap around the back, okay, it's a little bit more locked down, and you look like a prototype tongue on it that has this weird indented foam and this extra high rubber coming across the toe box in a whole completely different pattern than you've ever seen on Air Force One. It looks like almost like a racing tire, the traction on it.
Yeah, it really does. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool, man. I mean, I can appreciate it. It's probably, again, something I wouldn't buy, but just as a lover of sneakers, I definitely can say I like what they've done here.
Yeah, I think it mixes it up, like, just enough to make it interesting. And, you know, I'm not, like, an Air Force One guy at all, so I wouldn't be buying it, but the fact that they have like kept it, you know, like it's obviously an Air Force One, like it's easily recognizable as an Air Force One, but then having all these like kind of little twists and, you know, adjustments definitely gives it some more character, in my opinion.
Yeah, man, definitely. It's not the same white on white that you see all the time. It definitely puts it in a different light, which is cool. I think the one thing that gets me about it is not about the design, but it's the fact that it's so different, you know, say so, so in that trend of being deconstructed and built back up with patchwork almost, but they're only charging $140 for it. I know it's more about, what, $50 more than a normal Air Force One, but I mean, that person, that kid who can afford the off-white definitely can be, you know, look fondly upon this and say, hey, man, I have $140. I can snag these and not to worry about any. I mean, as far as we know, no crazy markups on them, no crazy resales. I would assume something like this would fit because it's not associated with another company.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, too. Like, I mean, just that in itself is such a... It's such a disappointing thing to me because I think there's a lot of cool stuff coming out right now. And, you know, this one might not be my thing, but like there's so much stuff that is not a collaboration that I think is good right now. That is just like almost going unnoticed. So hopefully these get a little more attention. I mean, obviously with the Air Force One, there's so many versions of it that continue to come out. And I mean, there's never a shortage of choices for people that are into Air Force Ones, in my opinion, but this one's definitely pretty unique.
Yeah, I agree with that, man.
So the main thing that we wanted to talk about tonight, today, whenever you're listening to this, is the kind of like, I don't know, like the surprising popularity of the latest Yeezy release. You know, it's been, what, 3 years of Yeezy Boost, like, lows coming out now, basically?
Well, V2s, at least, I feel like.
Yeah.
We've been doing V2s for a minute, and I never realized until I've seen a few people make the same point, but they're literally all off the same color palette, too, except for a couple of one-offs, like the frozen yellows and the glows, but most of these sneakers are literally a take off the same, you know, beige to white color palette or to gray, and there's not much difference between any of them. But for some reason, I don't know, but this black one lit a spark under somebody, and the world went nuts for it.
Yeah. So obviously, like we, you know, everybody kind of pays attention to resale prices and secondary market and stuff like that. And with this particular like release, it was kind of interesting because there's like the triple black and then there's triple black reflective. And I think the reflective was selling for, you know, I don't remember how much, but at one point, like I looked at it and it was like $800 or $900 and the non-reflective even was selling for like $350, $400, you know, retail price of a $200, $220 shoe, whatever it was. Like I'm not really buying Yeezys, but like, that's one of those things where it's like, damn, that's crazy that you could make that much money off that shoe. And it perpetuates this kind of like chaos that, you know, I think, you know, we saw on, I guess it was Ireland, but, where like it almost like you said earlier, Mike, it reminds us of the cause, like chaos of the Uniqlo release, because people are like, you know, basically fighting to get to the front of lines to make purchases. But in this particular story on Footwear News, it's kind of interesting because I guess they canceled this.
So people started camping out the night before that Friday, and someone took it upon themselves like, hey, person in front of the lines basically started giving people numbers like, hey, we'll just want to, so they can keep it orderly, and it's like, hey, we know who's here and who wasn't here, just in case anyone shut the line jump, sounds like. And so many people were lined up there, basically the store knew they didn't have that many pairs. So instead of just kind of following suit, which I think would have been a great idea. I mean, I the guy who started the numbers was a smart guy. He's like, hey, let's not have any chaos. They sent everyone away and told them when they walked away, hey, this is going to be a first come, first serve, which turned into, you know, the stampede from the Lion King. And everyone's like lost their minds. And the story focuses more on this 10-year-old kid who ended up getting basically, you know, smashed between people and the gate to the store. Which is crazy to me, because A, we haven't seen this kind of nonsense in a while, as far as I know, for any sneaker. I mean, this, I guess because there's so much of an online presence now that you don't have to camp out as much. And B, this was for a triple black Yeezy. I mean, I am, like Nick was saying a minute ago, I'm stunned because I found a reflective pair on StockX. And in my size 10, this sneaker, the lowest ask right now is $1,400.
That's nuts.
It's insane.
I can't think of any Yeezy that had that kind of.
Turtle Doves. The first one, the Turtle Doves were.
Maybe the very early ones.
Yeah, but still. I mean, I know the shoe's $200, but I don't understand it. I mean, maybe I'm a little bit, maybe I'm just missing something, but even if you look at the, let's see, the reflective, the static that came out, the white version, it's selling for like half of that. My size 10 for the static reflective, the white colorway is $680. Still ridiculous, but what are you going to do with a Yeezy, which is primarily primate and a slab of Boost for $1,400?
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's just crazy that, I mean, I'm all for like reflective stuff. And honestly, that would like tip the scale for me in so many different releases, but it's crazy to me that it's basically an all black shoe and there's so many all black Yeezy options, right? Like, I mean, I didn't see these in person yet, but from what I've seen and heard through friends online and stuff, the quality of these is really nice. Like this is like the, you know, regardless of the reflective colors, like this particular V2 is like the best quality of them yet. So I can see if people are like big fans of the Yeezy or, you know, of Kanye or whatever, then it makes sense that like, if you're hearing that, then this is the one you want. And everybody's hyped up about it. But to me, it's like you can probably, I mean, I don't, prices of all the Yeezys are probably a little bit higher than I remember them at, because I just am not looking for those older ones. But there's been so many black versions out there that it just, to me, it's just like, it just seems crazy that these would flip for so much when the last, you know, like probably five releases. I think the glows, the clays, the, what was that? Like Trueform.
Oh, the Terraform.
Trueform, Hyperspace. Like all those like kind of lighter colors haven't really done much. And you can usually either get them from a store at retail after the release or, you know, like not much over for resale. So to me, this is like super surprising. It was really interesting to say that there was, you know, that story says something along the lines that there's over 100 people in line. And to me, I don't know. I don't think that this actually mentions the specific store, but to me, like if you're a retail account and you have Yeezys, any Yeezy is not worth releasing to like first come first serve. I think that was like the biggest problem. And even if they were doing it, it sounds like there was like a change in the you know, the release kind of strategy at mid-release when they realized there was too many people.
They freaked out, I think, of the situation. Like, I don't know what to do, so just everyone go away. That's pretty much what it sounds like happened.
Yeah, and I mean, that's like the worst, you know. If you're lined up for stuff, that's the last thing you want to hear, is that there's no chance for anybody. So
yeah,
I can understand like the frustration, but it is kind of crazy. And it's also like, I kind of, you know, this specific story I would take with a grain of salt, where it's like you're, you know, your son got a mark on his shoulder, and it's like, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, it sucks to be in that position, but
yeah,
I also don't think it was like, it could have been a lot worse. Like, we, in the sneaker world,
yeah,
we all know situations that have gone a lot worse than that. So I would, you know, yeah, like, you want to complain about it, I'd also be thankful that your son didn't have, you know, a gun pulled on him or whatever that, you know, could happen,
yeah,
and has happened at a lot of sneaker releases over the years.
Yeah, man. And I feel like the videos I saw today, I was sending you guys, I think they're all overseas. I haven't seen anything, you know, in the States about this release going sideways. In fact, every store I follow, everything seemed calm. They did raffles, people picked up their shoes and left. And it seems, I don't know what's like, and it's crazy. Like, ever since this, it's been highlighted ever since this Uniqlo released last week, a week before last, they just been showing these videos of these people in overseas going nuts. I don't, I mean, maybe they just know the value before we do, which, I mean, kudos to you if you're going to flip it and make all this money, because you're going through a lot for it, man. Like, you got the football pads out ready to go to war.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're looking at Yeezy prices, then clearly there's some quick money to be made on if you're looking black color, the black based colorways. But I think that, you know, the Uniqlo stuff is really crazy to me. Only because it's not a lot of money, you know, profit wise. With a Yeezy, yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, you make $200-$300, you know, that's good money for a lot of people in the world, anywhere in the world. With the Uniqlo stuff, you're talking about like a $15 shirt selling for $40 on Instagram or $50 on Instagram, unless I missed something, because like most of that stuff that I saw on Instagram wasn't above like $50 or $60. And to me, that's crazy. Like, to be like rushing to get it, you know, fighting people to get it, diving under, you know, barriers or doors and stuff. I mean, it's like,
no. Yeah.
I mean, you know, granted, this is Kaz's last Uniqlo, you know, release or whatever, but I don't know. There's so much of that stuff out there. Like, I mean, when the first round of the Kaz stuff at Uniqlo released, I picked up, you know, a bunch of stuff. And then, you know, personally, I didn't end up wearing hardly any of it. And I actually gave some of it away and kind of kept the plushes and stuff like that, that I like the collectible toy stuff anyway. Mm-hmm. But then the second time around, the black Snoopy or Peanuts plush, I mean, it was on the site for, seemed like forever. And they definitely had it in store for a long time.
Context right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's like no reason for that stuff to be, you know, I mean, you know, I don't know. Help us out. If you're listening and you saw the difference in this Kaz release, I mean, I do think that it's, you know, for big fans of his, you know, being the last time he's going to put out something with Uniqlo, there's appeal there. And I do think there were some dope pieces in this collection, but definitely nothing worth like lining up for days or racing somebody, you know, down the mall for.
Yeah. But. And I want to know, if anyone out there listening, going back to Yeezys, what makes the 350 so much more desirable than the 700? Because personally, I like the 700 better, and I was looking at the prices of the all black, the Vanta colorway, and those are pretty much $20 over retail, which is just the fees from StockX looks like. So I think those are probably a better buy. I think they're way more wearable than the 350s. So someone tell me, what is the desire for those?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely more of a fan of the 700 and the was it the 500? I think that like it's good timing. It's more of a, I think people are like more in like lighter running type shoes for the summer, okay, just cause it's super chill, you know, wear with shorts, yeah, kind of thing. And I feel like the 700 and the 500 are kind of like, they're more like pants, jeans, kind of, you know, shoes for a lot of people. I mean, I think they look dope either way. But
yeah,
that's
yeah,
at least my thought on it.
Maybe so, man. Maybe this hot weather has people just going nuts. So
I mean,
who knows?
Yeah, like personally though, like I think the very first 700, the Wave Runner, whatever, is probably my favorite, and then the the Inertia colorway is really dope too.
That one's the best hands down. The Wave Runner colorway. This another one, the Tefra or whatever it's called. I don't know, they have weird names. So I think that's a pretty good. Yeah, it's a Tefra. It's a grayish color with some beige, like almost gum sole, and some just different shades of gray on top. I think it's probably one of the nicer ones. And looking at pictures, the quality looks like it's better. And that's when you said that you had someone that said the quality on that 350 was so much better. What are they changing? Like it's Primeknit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that. I don't know exactly what they're changing, but there's definitely like, you know, updates to it. You can kind of see it in the finish of the shoe, but I don't know. It's one of those things where I think it's just like the perfect storm. But I don't know what's your favorite Yeezy? Let us know. We'll post this up onto social and just drop a comment. Let us know what your favorite Yeezy is and why. Like, I mean, I'm curious, like, you know, on the other side of it, the kind of resale stuff has been a little out of hand lately. And, I think, you know, you mentioned a one that I actually saw. I forget who I saw post it on Instagram, but somebody picked up multiple pairs of the Kawhi Leonard Air Jordan 1, like the white, black, and chrome kind of. I forget the nickname for that series with like the champions
the
or whatever.
Sweet 16.
Yeah, that's what it was. Sweet 16. I mean, I would have never even thought that shoe was flipping for that much. I mean, you know, Jordans, I just assume like they're probably going for a little over retail. Something like that might go for maybe another 50% or something on top of it because it was fairly rare. But you did a little research and found something completely different.
Man, I'm going to get ready to blow everyone's mind here because this sneaker has literally, it's going to be your child's college fund if you have it right now. Right now, we're looking at the shoe retail for, I think, actually just 160, not the 175 that normally is for a premium Air Force Jordan 1. Right now, a size 10 will, your lowest ask on StockX is about $3,900. And your highest price I've seen is both in a size 7.5 and a size 14, which will run you upwards of $8,500.
Yeah, that's nuts.
I don't even understand it. I mean, my Air Jordan 1 is my favorite sneaker. This is a good looking sneaker. But in what world does this constitute you to raise the price to multiple thousands of dollars? It's been out for a year. It's not even like something that's been around for years. It's been buried under, you know, in the archives. This thing's been out for, what, a year and a half, 2 years.
I mean, maybe it's just all these Toronto fans just trying to go in because Kawhi is going to win them the championship.
But they're going to wear the Spurs colors? It's in Spurs colors.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but... The shoe is super dope, but definitely that's a little crazy. So
I'm going to check Marshalls or Ross. Let me see if I can find one for like $30. And
I mean, it is crazy what you can find like digging through stores. I mean, that's probably my favorite thing about sneakers, or at least one of my favorite things about sneakers still to this day. It's just like you never know what you're gonna find. There's always things that show up that you know. There's so many shoes out there that are good that you just don't think about. And a lot of times there's people out there that don't have access to them and they're willing to pay a decent amount for them. So I love the hunt. Like I love whether that's being in the mall and just going through all the stores or being in outlets and, you know, digging through, trying to find, you know, random stuff or, you know, even all these like other, you know, like, especially in bigger cities, you can find like old sporting goods stores. And what's crazy is like, you would think that, like, you know, sneakers have been a big deal for what, 15 years now, at least 10 years, if you weren't paying attention, you know, 25, if you were, but, I won't say where, but I actually came across, Sorry, I'm not going to give away my spot yet. But I came across a pair of 35th anniversary Adidas Superstars, and they were the what was it? I think it was Upper Playground that did the like barbecue theme shoe, and these were not my size, so I didn't get them. But you know, that shoe is, I don't even know how old. Like, that shoe's got to be 8 years old, 9 years old at very least, and it was still sitting on a shelf. Like what? Like, I just couldn't believe it. But yeah, it's I don't know. It's still my favorite thing about sneakers, I think, is just like the crazy come ups you can find.
It's the best thing in the world. Like, anytime if my wife's working on Saturday, me and my son will go to the Nike outlet. Literally, it opens at 10, we'll get to 9:45. And it's just so awesome to go in there when no one's in there on Saturday morning and see so much stuff. There's so many things I've found and purchased for basically dirt cheap of like what the retail price was, and good looking stuff that just a little bit of patience. And in the words of, you know, fellow sneakerhead Homer Simpson, is like, patience saves pockets, man. Like, the hunt, if you take the time to hunt, it's so much more gratifying than, you know, clicking a button. I mean, if you want the shoe, you want the shoe, but it's something about being able to dig in like a bin, like go behind a shelf and just see, you know, something just almost like a treasure just like hanging out there and just happens to be your size. You can't beat that kind of victory. And it just makes you almost appreciate it more because you actually went and did the legwork for it, and you didn't just take the, oh, I'm going to pay $3,000 for it and just going to sit in my closet now.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking like all the random stuff that I've come up on. And so I collected like Adidas PEs for a long time, and for years when the Rose 1 came out, Rose 2, Rose 3, that like whole era, you could find all sorts of crazy like college PEs, player PEs. They just ended up in a lot of different random places. No like crazy monetary value on stuff like that, but to me that was like so cool to be like, you know, most people go through and look at a shoe and see, oh, that's a Rose 1, you know, and it's whatever, white and orange, or, you know, Baylor colors or something, and they think nothing of it. But they think nothing of it, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, for me it's like it's a gold mine. Like, I don't care if it's $20 or $50 or whatever, like, I just love being able to find that stuff that's just off of the radar of the average consumer when it comes to sneakers. But like, somebody out there is going to recognize it and be like, oh, damn, that's pretty dope that you found that. Or it just gives you a cool story to tell to, you know, down the road. So,
yeah. But all agreed to that, man. It's more than just the, you know, the Instagram flex. It's when you're really in, like, if you really love sneakers, man, this is that. That's the feeling you want. It's just like, man, that come up was awesome, and this is why I found it. Like, I have no shame. I go to probably Marshalls and Rothko's right next. Like, we have one right next to our neighborhood, and I go check it probably every weekend just to see what's around there. And there's, oh, man, it's always something. Like, if you're like, personally, I think I put it on Twitter not too long ago, I'm big into soccer jerseys. I literally found 4 soccer jerseys at a Marshalls for, they were like $12 a piece, normally $90. And that, I got so excited. I felt like it was Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, I love that stuff, but I think, jerseys are another one where I'm just like a sucker for,
oh yeah.
You know, as long as I'm not a fan of like the Fanatics ones that came out this last year, 'cause they just were like really, really cheaply made, in my opinion. But there's so many good ones where I love seeing random players. Definitely will wear, you know, just about any team. And you just, I mean, it's just cool to like see the obscurity of it and then come across them, you know, especially when you know, like, some of those jerseys are so expensive at retail, and then they end up, you know, in the back, you know, clearance rack someplace. So
yeah, man.
I mean, So let's throw that out there. I think like that's a great question. What's like your best come up, best story hunting sneakers? That's what I'd love to hear. In fact, why don't, if you have a really good story, email us. You can email us stories@sneakerhistory.com and just tell us your story. Maybe we'll read some of them on the next episode of the podcast. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, guys, send them in. I want to know what you guys have found. I want to know if you're one of those lucky people who found those rumored fragment ones a couple of years back when they said they were sitting at like a Ross. So let us know. I want to find somebody and talk to that person.
Yeah, yeah, that would be dope. So email us stories, stories, @sneakerhistory.com with your best come up story, and we'll read some of them on an upcoming episode. Let's wrap up real quick. What do you got as far as sneakers this week?
If you know me, you already know I'm going to pick. The Eric Austin Jordan 1 comes out on Saturday. I need those. Someone help me.
Yeah, I dig those. I actually am going to go a little different with the mixtape Air Max 90. I don't know.
I saw them. They're awesome.
Yeah, so dope. I forget who, somebody posted it, and it was like if you're a 90s kid, you'll love this colorway of the Air Max 90. And I'm like, well, clicking on this.
It was so well done. That the sole itself makes me love them.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically like the top of the shoes got like side A, side B kind of thing, mm-hmm. and then the bottom of the shoes got like a track list, basically as if you were, as if you had written it on there in pen like you used to do back in the day. 33 1/3 RPMs on the tongue, all that kind of stuff. So, super dope colorway. Definitely my pick for the week. So, but that pretty much wraps it up for this episode. Thank you all for listening, and let's hear your stories. Stories at Sneaker History. Shoot us an email. Tell us your best come up story. Love to hear them. My name is Nick Engvall. Yeah. You can follow me at Nick Engvall on all platforms. More importantly, you can follow at Sneaker History on all platforms. And Mike, let them know how they can connect with you.
Yeah, guys, Mike Gillery. You guys find me every day, all day on sneakerhistory.com. You find me Instagram, Twitter under MadWatcher789. Just keep on interacting with us, guys. We love it. We love to talk sneakers with everyone out there. Just appreciate your time and just putting us in your day. So thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Appreciate all of you. Thank you very much. And we will catch you next time. Peace.
See ya.
What up, y'all? This is Nick again. Before you take off, I want to ask a few favors of you. First off, if you're still listening, I wanted to thank you for supporting us and continuing to listen to our podcast. If you're enjoying it, and I'm going to assume that you do if you're listening this long, please take a couple of minutes, head over to iTunes, drop us a review, leave a comment, make sure you're subscribed. It's the only way that we can really continue to grow our audience and reach new people and continue to grow the podcast. The second thing is, if you haven't already, head over to sneakerhistory.com/shop. You can pick up t-shirts, coffee mugs, stickers, and some other miscellaneous things. And all of these things go to help us continue this podcast, to continue the site, and just pay for miscellaneous expenses that come up. We're not trying to make a killing off of it, but it would be awesome to have your support. And who knows, maybe run into one of you on the streets one day rocking a Sneaker History t-shirt. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time. Peace. Hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. Be sure to hop into our Discord to answer this episode's The Last Shot question and get to know our community of sneaker enthusiasts. If you'd like more insights on the trending topics in the sneaker world, I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly 2 decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter. And last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.